Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is Eric and Jessica Carrier, the hosts of the Prairie Land Paranormal Podcast.
If you're looking for a show that explores all things paranormal, with dramatic storytelling, historical research, relevant science, and witness accounts,
check out our show online at www.prairielandparanormalpodcast.com or through your favorite podcast player.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
It's our birthday episode. Woo! Woo!
Come celebrate with us on March 17th, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
We look forward to having you and our special guests on with us. So we can't wait to put out this episode. Me and Lindsay are so excited for our anniversary. Come party with us.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another fantastic episode of The Convergence Enigma with Josh and Stefan. I am your host, Stefan Gearhart, not to be confused with the other host, which is Josh Rutledge. What up,
Josh,
Mr.
Rutledge? Thank you. I'm doing pretty well. Rutledge. It's like Druthers.
But with a J.
But yeah, right. Rutledge.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
Yeah,
sure. Anyways, thank you, Josh, for joining me every week as we talk about the weird stuff and how
the
it all
weirdness
converges together in this strange
enigma.
Come on,
get down
we
with
call
the weirdness.
The paranormal. This week we've got a great show. We're going to be digging deeper with the host of the UAP Studies podcast, Mr. Jason Guillemet. We're really super pumped to have this man on the show. Our good buddy Chris Plain just recently was on his show, who we love from The Debrief. So, you know, we're in good company. If Chris thinks this guy's worth a darn, well, we do too.
Yeah, well, so. We do too. That's right.
So we're Chris, very excited to talk all things UAPs, cattle mutilations, whatever we get into.
Whatever it happens. It's almost going to be pandemonium.
Oh, it was pandelirium. I was there and I thought, oh, Margaret still got my casserole dish.
Where's that from? Do you remember that?
No, but it sounds like JD said it.
No, Jeff Foxworthy said it.
Oh, man, I never said a thing like that.
Hush, hush. You have not been introduced to the UnX folks yet. So you calm down there, buddy.
Okay.
Y'all will get to meet the Jersey Devil soon, I promise. Yeah. But before we get to Jason, we're going to hit our segments of the week. And this week, we've got our first one as usual. And then we're going to be hitting up some Bigfoot sightings. So I'm super pumped about that. So let's get to our first segment, Josh, which is... psychic word of the week.
And now, the psychic word of the week.
Woo! Psychic word of the week, Josh. Brought to you by the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary by Junji Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Hung Bear. We love you, but we never even knew you. So as you can see here, or here, we have the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary.
Flipping through the pages.
This week, I landed on page 386. And the phrase that I came across here was, where'd it go? This one's a weird one. I can't pronounce. Megha Ragha.
Well, nice roll of the tongue there.
Thank you. Megha Ragha. This comes from Hinduism. And it says that it is music of a fixed melodic scale composed to summon courage when played. Hindus understand the power of music, so it is played as a melody for midday in the rainy season as a way to encourage them, I guess, to stay strong because their monsoons are nuts in India.
Yeah.
They're nuts. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. So we've got the Megha Ragha. And that was a little short, Josh. So I'm going to look over at the page next to us, too. And I want to do another one because I can't. It keeps grabbing my eye. And it's called mediumized. I think this is the opposite of supersized.
Okay.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
But no, mediumized says pertains to one who has mediumistic perispirate. That's a weird word. Perispirate fluid within their nervous system, which allows the etheric world guide to use them as an instrument for physical phenomena. One is born mediumized or acquires it through sitting for development over a period of time. Etheric world alchemist changes the medium's body chemistry so it contains this perispirate fluid. Medium must have the desire to sit patiently and repetitiously and allow it to unfold. I wonder if that's like ectoplasm.
Ectoplasm. I was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, so maybe that's where ectoplasm comes from. You have to have this in your body in order to be able to produce ectoplasm. Because, like, I've the book that Leslie Keen wrote, and then the documentary that was on Netflix. You know, they talk about how the ectoplasm just kind of like oozes out of the trans medium, and so maybe they have to have this stuff in place in order for the ectoplasm to come forth.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've just pulled up ectoplasm and mediumship is at the bottom, so that does make sense. But man, I never thought about it like that way. My sister, who is a born medium, I'm like, sorry to tell you, Trish, but you're filled with perispirate fluid. Now, Trish, I want you to stay still because you're filled with perispirate fluid. Now, your brother here, he's dry as a bone. So we're going to make him sit for a while as the etheric guide fills him up with his perispirate fluid.
I mean, can you donate perispirate fluid to other non-perispirate fluid having people?
I guess, if you've got some smalls out there that need to become mediums, you know. So they need a little extra perispirate.
Like if you're an extra large, you'd give a little bit. To the medium.
I mean, if you're a large, even.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a medium, you could probably get by, but you're only able to communicate with the recently dead.
What if you're like, a youth size small or something?
What if you're a youth minister?
They probably have it too.
On that note, let's go ahead and get to our second segment. I'm going to cut you off right there. The theologian just jumped in his chair in anger. Theologian's a friend of ours. But anyways, I'm going to jump to our next segment before we get to Jason from the UAP Studies podcast, which is the Bigfoot sighting of the week. All right, Josh, Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, Skunk Ape, sighting of the week. What do we got and where it's from, sir?
Yep, so this actually is coming from BFRO.net. which is really, you know, the only sighting place that I know of that captures all Bigfoot type sightings. This actually happened in 1981 in the fall, specifically November 7th. It happened in Cove, Arizona, which I looked up is like almost the very northeasternmost corner of Arizona. I mean, it's like way up there. It's above Flagstaff. It's above.
So you're getting towards Colorado, and
yeah, it's like it's way up there, and it's actually the Lukachuki Mountain Range.
Ooh, that makes me want to dance, Josh.
Lukachuki, Lukachuki, Lukachuki.
So yeah, it's says here that
it was my first day of the 1981 Navajo deer season. I have hunted these Lukachuki mountains for deer through my teenage years with my brother, uncle, and cousins. I was 20 years old then. It was about 7 a.m. November 7th, 1981, when our hunting crew reached the top of the mountain, southwest of Cove, Arizona. The weather was cold and shifting fog. The ground was frozen from the drizzle the night before. Two cousins and I were to walk the upper mountain ridge that arced to the northwest. I packed my day pack and loaded my rifle. By then, my cousins had already walked ahead of me on a well-used trail, which rounded a hill to a saddle which splits the mountain range. I wanted to catch up with them, so instead of following the trail, I climbed up the hill and over. As I reached the top and began to go down the other side, I stopped and yelled my cousin's name to locate them. I first heard crashing of oak brush below me 40 to 50 yards to my left. I could not believe what I was seeing. Walk downhill on two legs. The oak brush was about armpit high on the thing. By then, the smell had reached me, which was musky, wet, smelly hair, indescribable scent. I was shocked. The thought of shooting it came to mind as I watched it through my rifle scope, but it walked too similar to be human, and I did not want to shoot. I watched it walk down to the big trail below, about 70 to 80 yards, and then into the forest. I then hurriedly made my way down to the north towards the forest road we came up on, and stayed on the road back to the meeting area and the northwest end of the ridge. I think it followed because of the movement I could hear in the oak brush while walking on the road. I shot once to scare whatever was moving in the oak brush. What I saw was a very large, black, hairy being that walked upright on two legs. The upper body was broad and muscular. The hair appeared coarse. The smell was bad. I can only say what I saw that day was a Bigfoot.
So I'm going to assume it had big feet.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to have big feet to support that kind of frame. You know?
Well, and you know what they say about Sasquatch with big feet, right?
It's Bigfoot?
No, that they leave big prints.
Ah.
Yeah. No.
like the Purple Rain kind of prints, or?
No. like the prints you get at the photo mat.
Oh, right. Some JCPenney.
Olin Mills. Anyways, thank you for sharing that, Josh. I am starting to hear some more Sasquatch stories here in Arizona. You know, of course, we talked about briefly the Mogollon Monster up there in the Mogollon Rim and stuff like that. I'd love to ask Shane Hurd, our friend that works for MUFON, you know, if he knows of any cryptid stuff, because he's got to dip his fingers into other paranormal stuff as well. Just a reminder, thank you guys so much for tuning into the UnX Network, the new mainstream, where we are here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening on Paranormal Radio, you can always find out more information on the UnX Network at UNX.com. network.com or just follow on all the socials so you can find out all the other great shows. Great shows. Whitley Strieber's got a show. Our buddy Ryan Sprague, who's going to be on the show here in a few weeks, he's got his show is on there. Christina Gomez, our BFFs, she's got a show on there. I mean, Jimmy Church, everybody is on there.
Micah Hanks has a show.
Is on there. Yeah. Billy Carson, we took his slot. We got Billy Carson's on there on Saturday. So I'm super excited to be in a room full of my mentors and friends. So it's really, really awesome. But you can check that out. And don't forget to check out the Fearscape Media Network at fearscapemedia.com, our home base. And go to the convergenceenigma.com where you can find our archived episodes, even back from when we were Fearscape, a paranormal podcast. Lots of really, really great stuff. Just
a lot of great interviews, conversations, topics. Yep. It's great
and
stuff.
All that stuff. Anywho, if you're ready, I know I'm ready. Let's go ahead and get to the host of UAP Studies podcast, Jason Guillemette. All right, we are here, ladies and germs, with our special guest. We are going to be digging deeper tonight with our special guest, host of the UAP Studies podcast, Jason Guillemette. How are you, sir?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for asking. You know, I had a rough morning this morning. Work was a little tough. You know, the dog got sick before I left for work and stuff like that. Josh?
Well, that all sounds very depressing.
It sounds like a Monday.
That's
a Monday on a Thursday.
Monday on a Thursday. No, I actually had a good day. I'm doing pretty good because looking forward to this interview. So I'm excited. Yeah. I was sad to see Josh, though. But yeah, other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. You can't have your video off when you're going to use something on YouTube, though. So just make a puppet for myself.
But yeah, Jason, like I said, we are very excited. We love your podcast, man. And anybody that talks about weird stuff like we do, we're always behind. Like I just said, recently you had our good friend Chris Plain on the show from The Debrief, which our folks know we work at The Debrief as well with Chris. And we've had Chris on the show as well. Yeah. Good times. But I love your podcast intro where it talks about from sightings to abductions to cattle mutilations to field research, 5E contact, and anything. And I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. Let's study it all, right?
Let's study it all. Yeah. So how did you get in, like, interested in all of this? I know it's the cheesiest normal question ever, but it's a good starting point, and I do want to know.
Well, it was an obsession since the age of 13. So when I was 13, my twin brother and I were coming back home from a friend's house, and we were, you know, pretty poor when we were kids. So we had one bike for twins. So, you know, I would get you know,
they're called pegs.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. We all had some pegs, dude.
Remember, like sitting in front, you know, like double, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what my brother was doing. I was on the handlebars, and all of a sudden we just get hit with this intense red light out of nowhere. My brother just stops the bike because we can't see anything. And once the eyes adjusted, I thought it was a transformer that had blown right near a telephone pole. So we look up.
So not an Optimus Prime.
Yes. Not an Optimus Prime, just to be on the safe side. but yeah, I looked up and it wasn't that. So I just kept looking up, and directly above our heads, maybe 80 feet, was this cylinder object. Now people say tic tac, but back then it was cigar shaped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it had just this perfect beam of light underneath it. You know, when you flash a flashlight on the ground, there's some light pollution, right? This does not have that. It's just like perfectly cut,
like a thick laser.
Yeah And that's what we were under. So it actually flew from behind us, caught us by surprise. We didn't know it was there until it was too late. It was already above us, and then it just sort of just kept going, and it went above a row of houses, turned, went above some trees. I went into full record mode, like, holy crap,
right?
Everybody that's ever said they've seen something is credible now in my book.
Yeah,
because like I've seen one 80 feet above my head. So
and your brother's like, I can't see anything, your fat head's in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what brothers do.
Yeah,
man, that's intense, man. And it has to be great to have someone share that with you, so you know that what you saw was legit.
But you know what was messed up is that I kept thinking that I had this experience with a friend of mine, not my twin brother. And when I mentioned that to my twin brother later on a few years ago, he's like, no, it was me, you idiot. I was the one who was with you. I was like, right. Like, how did I forget that detail? Like, no, I just focused. Yeah.
We talk about it on the show. My abduction experience that I had when I was really, really little, I thought was a dream for the longest time. I just thought it was a dream that I had and things like that. And I halfway mentioned it to my sister and she filled in the blanks. And she was like, wait, how did I tell you my dream? And then it went from there and we were like, oh my God. And then we approached my mother and my mother's like, oh my God, yes. She doesn't know about the abduction part, but she remembers picking us up at this guy's house. We were like, there was an old man with a beard, looked like the guy that hung out with Heidi in the woods. And she's like, yes, you guys were gone for 2 days. Like, it's just crazy.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it was a dream for the longest time. So I'm with you. You know, you, when you have those kid memories, you replace or you fill in or you, or like my instance, you make it a dream or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But man, that's, yeah. that's what part of the world are you, was that in?
I was in Cadillac, Quebec. So that's like a good ways up the province, up north. And it's so small that if you sneeze when you drive past it, you missed it. You know, like it's a very small town.
Yeah. So it's not going to be a UPS plane. Right, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And there was no planes around that area at all. It's a small mining town, which is interesting because I found out later on that mines and these things are very much, you know,
there's a connection. That's the nature of our show now. You know, one of the reasons we switched gears to the Convergence Enigma was all of that idea of the hollow earth, mines, caves, and possibilities of ultra-terrestrials, meta-terrestrials, any of that stuff. It's all just somehow connected, man. And that we're with you on that. So even cooler that you have found that out later on about your own area.
So did the red light that kind of illuminated you all, did it stay on as it flew over those houses and trees, or did it go off after it left you all?
It stayed on. And it just beamed the houses as it went through. And I just remembered, like, by the time it went over the treetops, it was lighting every single branch on the trees as it was flying above them. And that's just when my mind was blown that that had just happened, right? Yeah. And it's 1994. I mean, there's no cameras or anything. But, man, I never shut up about it since that day. Like, I talked to everybody about it. And I've just been, I wear my UAP,
underwear.
Underwear on my sleeve. On my sleeve. I want everybody
they
to see
they don't fit
it.
Anymore. You were 13.
Stains and all.
You were 13. No, man, I agree. And, you know, that another reason why we do this show is we let, you know, hey, you guys aren't alone. This stuff happened. But one question I have about the light, and you may have mentioned this already, was what was the brightness of it? Like, how bright was it? Like, street light bright or like the red lights on the brakes of a car, you know?
Like, you ever see Hollywood movies or how they make Hollywood movies and they turn on those like spotlights that are intense?
I'm a theater kid, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it was a set of that directly above us, just pow, just hit us out of nowhere.
And you said you felt it too, like the heat from it.
Yeah, well, there was just like a vibration to it a bit, right? So I just remember like just being, what the hell? And just looking down, all the rocks were lit up red. All the hair on my arm was lit up red before I was able to actually look and see what the heck was above our heads. But by the time I did, I was like, just jaw dropped. Like, I couldn't believe it.
That as kids, we don't spend day after day after day after day talking about this with the person we're with. We kind of write these things off, right? Because we're kids. And to us, movies are a lot more real than they are to other people. So we're kind of, and especially, you know, like 80s and 90s kids, like that, it was all about kids doing adventures and things like that. I mean, I remember explorers, they went to outer space, right? So it's like, because as adults, we would be talking about this every hour of every day for months on end if this was me and my brother, right? But as kids, we don't, like, it's weird.
But we've seen different things. He's continued seeing sightings. I've had another sighting with my wife a few years into our marriage, so there's like we keep seeing stuff every once in a while, which I keep thinking it's not just me, this is everybody has sightings, like one or two in their lifetime. So we all know that this stuff is happening. It's just having a discussion. I found that personally, there's people that have had incidences that don't know me from at them, right? Mm-hmm. But they'll just lean in like, I saw them once, you know?
Yep, we get that what? Too.
Yeah, I'm like,
there's
yeah.
something about us, those that are open about it, because yeah. I've always said before that it's kind of like buying a Jeep. All of a sudden you see Jeeps everywhere, right?
Yeah.
This is that same thing. It's like once you see yeah. it, you can't unsee it.
And or I, a I, word. You ever yeah, get a word, word that you never heard before never and all heard, of a sudden you hear sudden it everywhere?
Everywhere, yeah. right. Yeah. Yeah. This is that same thing. And it's like you... I have yet to meet someone that's had a single experience. They will always have had at least two,
yeah.
Even three or multiple, because I feel like it's like it almost unlocks, boy, I'm going to get to metaphysical here, but it's like it almost unlocks that third eye and opens it up and right, says, yeah. boom, you can now see. Like,
yeah. Well, we all have this, I think, innate sense. Like, you know, when you're in a room with somebody and you just get the vibes from that person that they're not a good person.
Yeah, Josh, you know, yeah.
but you,
but yeah,
you get,
know what to talk about, yeah.
Yeah, and like usually that's your instincts telling you there's something wrong with it. That's because what that person is actually thinking, met, you know, there's an actual air around them. Mm-hmm. I think we all have that sense of being able to a certain degree, communicate without ever having to say anything. Mm-hmm. Closest thing to telepathy that we have, we all have that feeling, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I forgot where I was going with this.
Well, I can add to that and say, yeah. Johnny L. Tenney, we had him on once and he had talked about the internet still gives us that ability. It is this two-way mirror when we do these video chats and stuff like that, because I can still feel that when we have a guest on that something feels weird about, like even though we're 2,000 miles away, they're in Ohio and I'm here in Arizona, right? I can still feel it, that there's still something in. And John believes that those metaphysical energies are able to travel through the air, through the wires, through all that, that it still exists, that you can still feel that air through. He said, but it's not the same like just watching something on TV, right?
Yeah,
it's not the same. But us being able to do like this, we can still feel that because we've got our visual cues, we've got our microphone, we still got these things, and it still travels. It's interesting. He calls it the, what is something like the magic technology or ritual of technology or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember.
I dislike it when I get a guest that comes on and they don't put on their screen, and I can't gauge where I'm at with them. And it just, it throws me off so bad. Like, I'm like, I end up editing just like so much of it because I start babbling and I can't, I don't know if the person's even paying attention, right?
Paying attention. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 100%, man. One of the reasons we loved the Zoom thing was because it got us off the phone. You know, it got us this all of a sudden. We could see them, even though we weren't going to use the video back in the day. Right. It was great because we could still laugh and see facial cues that would make us understand that, oh, you're getting ready to talk, or Josh is getting ready to talk, or vice versa. So
yeah,
it's interesting, man. Very, very good.
Well, so I was going to jump back a little bit. You know, we were talking about how, you know, all these people that you kind of run into or interact with, how they'll lean in and say, hey, I've had a signing of my own. I saw a study. It was done like back in the 80s, I think, that took the number of people who had come forth with a sighting, you know, looking at MUFON data, for example. And then if you took that as a sample size and extrapolate that out, then really it's something like 6 or 7 out of 10 people have had a sighting. Only like, you know, 2 or 3 out of 10 report it.
Right.
But really, it's a much larger number that have actually had a sighting. And so I would argue that there's probably a very small population of the world at this point who hasn't seen something.
They are the minority.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we're a lot more comfortable with the concept now than we ever have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like everybody I talk to are like, yeah, bring it on. Like, whatever it is, you know, we'll take it. So,
well, sure. The boomers are still just, they are stained with Cold War. They will always think it's the commies up in the sky.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the perfect excuse for the government to say, oh, it's Russia. Right.
Yeah.
And so it was like the perfect excuse. But the younger generations were like, well, you know, I still had the Cold War. I don't know how old everybody else is, but it's like I still had the Cold War of the 80s. But we had X-Files. We had everything going up to that. And it became more of a believer society as opposed to a science fiction society.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say if Jason was 13 in 94, we're probably all around the same age.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about that. I don't math. I have a theater degree.
I'm 40 and I'm proud. Yeah.
I'm 40.
So, yeah. But the other thing is, I think that with the government, with, you know, kind of officially making a stance now and saying, yes, UAPs, UFOs, whatever you want to, you know, call them, they're real. You know, it's no longer a question when you see somebody. It's no longer a question of do you believe in UFOs, because there's no believing in UFOs.
It's something that's unidentified,
yeah. Right? It's do you believe in, instead? The question is, do you believe they are extraterrestrial? Do you believe they are interdimensional? You know, whatever. Do you believe they're the government with advanced weaponry, whatever? But the question is no longer do you believe in UFOs. That's been And so I think the kind of when the government did that, when they officially took that stance, you know, it was on 60 Minutes and the mainstream people saw it, where we've been living it for a long time. The more masses of the world saw it. I wonder if that really opened up people to be able to say, you know what, it's OK for me to talk about it now.
Yeah, you know? It's like my dad, man. My dad loves alien stuff. Like, he's a big ancient astronaut guy. Like, he read Chariots of the Gods when he was younger and things like that, but he never talked to me about it. And he knew that I had this paranormal podcast. He listened to it occasionally, like dads, proud dads do. Yeah. And but once all that stuff came out and he saw it on 60 Minutes, he was always like, well, did I ever tell you that I saw this thing when I was 15? I'm like, no. Oh, so now the 60 Minutes says it. Talk to your son about it. He's got a damn show.
Yeah,
he talks about this stuff, like, come on, man. But it's true. And I have so many more people since that happened last year, where the government talked about it and had their study report and all that. More people just coming out of the woodworks. And we've been doing this 4 years. More people coming out of the woodworks since then, sending us stories, talking to us, family and friends and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll get that, because once they know that you're cool with the subject or that you take it seriously, I've remembered coworkers kind of laughing when one of the clients came in and he mentioned, oh, this guy's a UFO guy, because I just started it. Yeah, exactly, because I just joined MUFON. I was quite happy about it, right? So anyways, the coworkers leave and it's just me and the customer. And then the customer's like, hey, man, I need to tell you something. I saw some orbs, man. Like, you know, I just realized that people just ha 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 poo poo the subject whenever it's brought in. Somebody starts laughing at it. But it's not something to laugh at anymore.
I mean, it really is an interesting thing that and that is something I've seen as well, that in like a larger group setting, if at least one person laughs about it, nobody will talk about it.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But you get them alone, like two or three people in a room, they're like an open book, and they'll tell you all about their experiences.
That's what happened
to
me.
They were probed when they were 12, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. I mean, same thing at work, you know, because I'm the UFO ghost cryptid guy. Everybody knows. And yeah, well, like, new people will come in, or I'll meet new people and they'll talk about it. Ha 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 ha. Everybody laughs. And then all of a sudden I get this message on Teams, Microsoft Teams. It's like, hey, man, can I tell you something? And sometimes it's anonymous. Sometimes it's like, I just want to come clean about this. This woman who's super Christian, all this crazy stuff, she was like, I have this story where I'm pretty sure I was taken from this earth and I saw the earth and I met these aliens and all this stuff, but I'm not a Satanist. That's what she said to me.
A Satanist.
Right. You know, because that whole thing. And I was like, yeah, I would love you. I said, tell me your story. She's like, well, I don't know. It's not very long, blah, blah. I'll just write it to you. And then she was like, you know what? Can you record me? Do you want to record me? It was 45 minutes. And we ended up doing it as a bonus episode over Christmas break, because she was the whole time. She was like, and I'll tell you, Jesus said no, but they said they was Jesus. And I was like, I don't think you're Jesus. Like, it was the best story like ever, ever, ever. And she was so hesitant. She wanted to be anonymous. And then she was like, my name is Carla Robinson. Like,
sounds like a hoot. Yeah.
She was so happy that someone was just believing what she was saying.
Yeah.
That it just, like, it was pouring out of her, man. It was intense.
It's like we're confessionals for people who have been holding it in.
We are the priests of the Space Brotherhood.
Yeah, exactly. Can you show me where the grays touch you on this puppet, sir?
Yes.
So I don't know. I feel like maybe you might be like me in that when you walk outside on a clear night, you're like compelled to look at the stars. Is that true?
Oh yeah, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Even on a clear day, I'll look at the sky. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to see way more daytime stuff, Josh and I.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some bright flashes of light in broad daylight that, like, it's no way there's a satellite rotating around that it's bouncing off of. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's the normal excuses of debunkers don't fit in daytime sightings. So.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a hard time.
Yep. So you had an experience. You've had an experience since you said with your wife. Your brother continues to have experiences. Have you ever actually gone out? So something that Steph and I have done a couple times is a CE5. You ever done a CE5?
I've never done one.
No. So, what's that word when you say, hey, we don't agree to this, but I can't think of that word. But anyways, we're not big Stephen Greer fans, but we love us some CE5.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
it fits that metaphysical pagan side of me, you know, I like that meditation stuff. It fits in there. But Greer, I think, is just a little bit of a cult leader. But
are you familiar with what CE5 is?
I am familiar with the concept of it. I've never attempted to do it myself, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll say that you don't really need the app unless you want to drop $20 on an app.
There's an app for it.
Yeah, and it's the thing that irritates me the most is that you spend this money on this app, and it sounds like he put his phone on his kitchen table and then recorded this meditation that you're supposed to do. I just want to be like, Stephen, can I redo this and send it? Yeah. Put a little music behind it and just send it back to you.
Yeah,
it's all like, echoey, like you went in the bathroom at work.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm taking a dump right now, but make sure you guys are like resting and relaxing. Like,
yeah, it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, and you charge $20 for it. That's awesome.
$20 for the app, and there's not like it's not like there's a free version that's got 15,000 ads. It's $20 or nothing.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a mechanism where you can connect to other CE5 people around you. I've had mixed results with that. But the basis of a CE5 is, right, you're just going out, you're centering yourself, and you're putting all of your thought into reaching out into the cosmos with your brain, with your mind, whatever you want to say, and trying to, reach out and touch someone, dial home, and then get them to kind of follow your brain waves back down to wherever you are on the planet Earth in hopes that they'll do something.
Show you some flashes or
whatever,
lights or.
So we went out and did one in the Arizona desert a few months ago, and I actually had a little EMF, those goes from green to red, EMF detectors that a lot of ghost investigators will use. So we had one of those on the ground, and it just all of a sudden started lighting up, and Stefan played the tones from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nice.
And right, because I don't played, again I don't like his tones. Okay. Yeah. So his tones are boop,
yeah,
boop, whatever, because it came to him in a meditation or something happened, I can't remember, and I was just like, we're not getting any results, this isn't happening. We are literally in the middle of nowhere. We should at least be seeing a satellite, for goodness sake. We're not even seeing satellites. So I was like, let's play the tones from Close Encounters of the Third Guy.
Wouldn't it be cool if that actually worked, right?
So it kind of did, because whenever he played those tones, the EMF light would light up. The EMF detector lights would light up.
And they would go all the way to red. Ghost box or two, right?
Yeah, we had a ghost box out there too.
And it's like, wee!
Yeah. So yeah, it was, and it was about 20 feet away from where we were sitting. And it would go, like, it would spike and wee, and the light, they had four different corner lights on it. It would light up and everything. So, yeah,
right.
we were actually getting some action.
And we know that Jacques Vallée and a number of other people, Hynek, were involved in the movie. And there's this black budget that fits part of the budget for the film as well. And that we know that Spielberg had people come in and take cuts of the film and say, nope, you can't have this in there. Yeah. So it's possible it was a real tone type thing that was used, and they used it for authenticity. So who knows?
or it was used to, you know, to try to single out the people in society that actually know anything. I don't know.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah, I was talking to Terry Lovelace, mm-hmm. and he was saying that basically his experience took place in 1977, right before that movie came out. Mm. And he was never able to watch that movie for like 30 years, just unable to watch that movie because it scared the crap out of him.
Oh, mm. I bet.
Yeah, because it just reminded him of his own experience. And I was like, yeah, I could see that. If a movie came out in the same year that you've had an experience that, you know, and he remembered everything. Like, it just came back to him like that.
Yeah.
So he didn't need hypnosis. We were talking about
Fire in the Sky, that, you know, being kids in the 90s and how that scared me and remembering my dreams.
I'm so pissed because I thought that that was true. As for like so long, I figured like, oh man, they were really brutal with him, and there was like that's not what happened at all.
No. He's very much a space brother. Like,
yeah,
you don't find that out unless you're watching docs or reading his book. Like, because the movie really horrified.
when he wakes up in that weird tomb of flesh with like he has to like poke his way out of the skin or whatever. Like,
and don't get me wrong, I mean his experience was still scary because it was unknown. We always talk about it. Andrea Perrin, the oldest daughter from the Conjuring movie, the real family. Andrea, we had her on a long time ago, and that's one thing in her book she talks about. She's like, we were frightened at first because we didn't know what else to be.
But yeah, I mean all the extra activities that were added in the movie didn't happen. And like we talked about this with like the Mothman Prophecies book by John Keel. The movie's like the last two chapters of the book. I mean, the book is so much more in it.
We talk about that all the time. The book is not even a memoir, so to speak, like the way the movie puts it. It's not this story about a guy that everything happens like that. Again, the Mothman stuff itself is a very small part of the book. He's just literally talking about UFO flaps and stuff that happened in this area and Woody Derenberger's case and things like that. And just all this weirdness and the times he was hanging out with Gray Barker and all these guys and just his experience and his research into all of this and Men in Black stuff and all this stuff. And then there's the stuff that's about Mothman and his experience. But even then, it's not, he didn't really have, he just saw some stuff.
Like. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was more about how, and this is where kind of where our kind of thoughts around, you know, this, you know, the convergences that are happening is because, you know, he kind of explains it as he was there in West Virginia investigating UFO sightings. And while he was there investigating UFO sightings, the Mothman situation happened. And so, you know, he is, I guess, probably for me at least, the number one inspiration to really look at everything as somehow related to each other.
Yeah, him or Charles Fort, one or the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Keel's, I believe, coined the phrase ultra-terrestrial, that idea that they probably don't come from the outer space, they probably come from the Earth, you know. Like
they've always been here. So
If you haven't read, I highly recommend. It's actually the second book in a trilogy. Operation Trojan Horse is the first one, and the third one, which is my favorite, is The Eighth Tower. Amazing. But those three books are filled with amazing research, and basically everything that you think you know probably came from Keel. Like it's incredible. Man, highly recommend those three books. Got my nephew on that. He's super pumped about it. But yeah, if you're going in trying to read a serialized version of the movie, wrong.
I hate it when they make a movie out of something. I'm never excited about it. Even this whole new Lord of the Rings show that's coming out,
shut your mouth.
Yeah,
you're gonna like it, and we're gonna love it.
I'm hoping that they're gonna do good. So yeah,
it may be. Well, it's got to be better than the Silmarillion because that thing was like reading nails on a chalkboard. So
that was painful, wasn't it? Yeah, anybody got through that? I just remember hating some chapters of it just because it. It's just horrible, horrible.
Like you basically got a Clockwork Orange. It be like, okay,
yeah.
I'm reading it. My eyeballs are held open. It's good. It's really okay. Oh, there's an interesting part 4 hours later. Anyways, Jace, I did want to ask because we didn't get into this part, but so I'm sure that this inspired the UAP Studies podcast, but like, what, why did you just go, you know what, I'm gonna do a podcast on this stuff?
You know what? I had joined MUFON and I want to be an investigator. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I read the book and I figured, okay, I'm good enough to start on my own. But the problem is that, you know, if you've never done any of this stuff and you don't have a mentor, you know, let's say that you live in nowhere, Manitoba, and you want to start, you know, investigating, you don't have a mentor to teach you. So how do you do that?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, why don't I just ask the pros, like, how do they do it?
Yeah.
And that's how the concept of UAP Studies, like, that's the point, is every time somebody comes on, I learn from them, something I didn't know. Right. Yeah, exactly. What you guys are doing. Right. So it's that was the point, is just get knowledge. And foremost is everybody having a voice on the podcast as well, which is really important. Like, everybody gets to say, everybody gets to express their views and stuff like that. And there's no, you know, I never bombard not the audience, but the guests with questions that they're not comfortable with or anything like that. Yeah. So it makes it a lot more pleasant to have the serious discussion. And I just get right into it. Like, seriously, like, you know, there's no wasting time. We both know what's kind of happening here, so let's talk about it.
Right.
And that's, you know, been something that's been really cool. Like, I get to talk to people that, Jacques Vallée, for instance, like, I never thought I would get that guy ever.
Yeah, I know. I look at your list ever. And I'm like, oh, we've had them. How did he get them?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, I suck at, like, my requests to these people, right? Like, I send them emails and I'm like, look, I'm awful at my requests for having people on the podcast, but would you please consider doing it? And then, you know, I send them a link or something. I've lucked out a few times, but there's sometimes people are just like, who is this guy? Like,
yeah.
You know, that's part of podcasting, I guess, when you're,
yeah.
Yeah, small time. Yeah. Lucky for us, you know, we're 4 years in and sometimes we're able to, God, I hate doing it, but being like, well, you know, we had Kathleen Martin on the show already. She's a great friend of ours, you know.
Yeah.
Like, to kind of tout it, to just be like, hey, look, we're not just some jackhole out there. Like, we, you know, asked this folks, they had a really good time. They told us this was one of their favorite things. So get on out there. And it does. And you just got to be brave. That's one thing Josh always says, is like, you know, because we have a network that we created, Fearscape Media Network. And a lot of the other hosts, you know, they're always like, how do you guys get cast? Blah, 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 blah. And we're like, if you don't ask, you'll never know.
Yeah.
And the girls that do Ghosts in the Attic, Bodies in the Basement, they do true crime / paranormal. It's fantastic. And they talked about this author that they loved. And they had this feeling that the author liked their page. And so we taught them how to go look and see who liked their page. And sure enough, this New York Times bestselling author did indeed like their page. And Josh was like, ask her to come on the show. It can't hurt. 5 minutes after the email, the woman was like, yes, I would like to be on your show. And they're like, oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't ask, you'll never know the answer, right? So
yeah, the nicest turn down that I've had was from Buzz Aldrin. Oh. He just, oh, what a gentleman. Like, he just let me down easy. I'm like, woo, if he's like that with the ladies,
it's Keanu Reeves. Yeah, we will never stop trying to get Keanu Reeves on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's a UFO buff. And so we've hit his agent up, we've hit his manager up, we've hit him up, but he's always busy. And he's always just like, you know, his manager's always like, you know, he's really busy. He's really interested, but, you know, he's just really busy right now. Yeah. You guys got to try to come down.
Yeah.
But we will never stop, Keanu. I know you're listening.
just ask him after he's done the John Wick movie. And
that's what we've been waiting for. I definitely want to suggest a guest for your show, and that's Ryan Musgrave Evans. He wrote a book called The Crypto Terrestrials, Children of Orion. Let me tell you, we love this guy, and he has some intense theories about crypto terrestrials, which again is closer to ultra terrestrials, that a lot of the ETs that are out there are actually these CTs, and he's got experiences with them, and it's like nothing. We will share some information with you after, but he's crazy episode. Were we not expecting how good it was? Like,
So,
we love sharing that, man, stuff. If we get somebody cool, man, we love that stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes you get some guests that just blow you away, right? Like,
a lot of times it's the ones you don't realize. They're just, you know, somebody you're like, well, this guy would be kind of cool. Or they hit you up, right? Hey, I'll do
yeah.
this. And you're like, yeah, okay, we got a spot open. And then you're like, you need to come yeah. back every other week if you could.
Yeah, yeah, that was the best podcast I've had in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. 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 So standard question that we haven't asked in a long time, Josh, is yeah. we obviously UAP studies. So we know you're a UFO guy. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about ghosts and cryptos or cryptids?
Cryptids, I don't know too much about.
You're in Canada. They live there.
I yeah. know, right? but I don't know too much about the cryptids. Like, I haven't spent much time studying it. Mm-hmm. As far as ghosts, well, I'm very open to the idea that, we're more than just this flesh and meat carcass. Like, there's more yep. to us. So, yeah, I definitely think that ghosts is a possibility. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like Josh has this theory that he's had since he started, got on the show with me, where he said that, man, maybe some of these poltergeists, some of these more physical ghosts are actually just aliens in camouflage, right? What yeah. if they're in your home looking yeah. for shit? Because, you know, when we go to a place, we don't just collect animals and study them. We're collecting plant samples, dirt samples. We're looking, yeah. we're doing archaeological digs, poop samples. Well, I'm betting they do that as well, but they got to be camouflaged, right? Or they don't want to get shot. We don't want to get eaten. So we're smearing, you know, like poop on us so we don't get picked up by the tiger, you know. Like,
yeah, or a predator for if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
right?
Really, you know.
Danny Glover, come on. Predator
yeah.
2.
Yeah, right? Actually, I like Predator 2. That was a good
too.
Movie.
I did
yeah.
too. That was a great movie. Yep.
Yeah,
especially the dude with the dreadlocks who sees a predator with some dreadlocks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. No, but yeah, you're right. Something, you know, they operate maybe outside the field of our vision, and they would know what we can see, what we can't see. Yeah. This is the same way that we understand the way birds can see, right? We got a general knowledge of it. So,
I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, there's the cones that we have in our eye that allows us to see colors and, you know, what we can see, how we interpret reality. We have three cones, right? We have red, blue, and green. Butterflies have five cones. So imagine what they see. The point is that the reality that we see is limited. There is so much more happening in the world that yeah. we just don't know about.
We just got five senses because that's all that we need to live in this reality. Right, right. But if we had more senses, like imagine even having the sense of a dog to be able to yeah. smell the way that a dog smells, like that would just change right. your perspective of it. You might be attracted to smelling poo for the same reason that they right. are. You're right. You're like, wow. Yeah, exactly. We're out of milk. I need to get more milk. Yeah.
Yeah. Who left the bread open? Like,
yeah, really?
Yeah. But, you know, that's the reality is that, you know, we think that we know what reality is, but it's really just based off of human experience and the five senses that we have. And we all agree mutually, oh, this happens, right? Like, we go to work every day. We're all miserable. We hate it. Like, it's not a normal way of living, right? Like, going to work is just not, it doesn't feel right. Like, it just doesn't, you know, somebody's like, oh, I love to work. I'm like, you're stupid. Yeah, that's just not, nobody enjoys work. Yeah. Nobody. But it's weird. We're a weird species, and arrogance too. Like you mentioned, they've been here the whole time. We haven't been paying attention, and it's like, wow, that's pretty bad. Like, if
and that's what makes
case.
Me wonder, with us now paying more attention, what's going to change?
Yeah,
it's both scary and awesome at the same time.
Well, you know, there's some theories that, like, you know, that we as a people used to interact with them. Right. And that's where all, like, the stories of, like, fairies and elves and dwarves and all that kind of stuff comes from. Is that we used to interact with them long ago, but somewhere along the way we got arrogant, maybe it's the right thing, or something. We kind of closed off that part of ourselves.
I mean, I do know a lot of historians will say it's when we moved from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal one. You know, when it became more about hunting and gathering and fighting and war as opposed to protecting and building, and which is what the matriarchal societies were more about, was community and things like that, that's when that kind of went away, because men inherently want more power, they want more things, and if you've got creatures that, you know, whatever we can't explain, you know, we're afraid of, right? We should fear is
and
a very
whatever we fear
thing.
We attack,
right? We attack,
you know, it's based off of our history too. Like, we're worried because people that always have the technological, wow, that was a hard word, technological advantage usually wins, you know, if there's going to be a takeover or anything like that. So yeah, I would understand that, you know, when you hear guys like Sean Cahill and Kevin Day being afraid, not being afraid, but just in awe, because these people were in charge of, you know, the best the best equipment in the world,
stuff,
and they're
the
like
stuff that
we
scares us.
Yeah, we can't do anything about this. Right. Like, that is important. That is a huge, you know, and often, you know, we all want disclosure in a sense that we want somebody official coming out, and I don't know who that's going to be, and that's really relevant. I think disclosure is coming from the men and women that serve in the military. Agreed. That have had experiences. Yep. The more of them that come forward, that is what disclosure is, right?
Yep. I mean, we've talked about it before. Disclosure is not a single individual announcing from the hilltops. It's a ground up approach, right?
Yeah. Seeping from the ground, right?
Grassroots, like, right? Yeah. So,
a Me Too FO, if you will. Hashtag Me Too FO. Let's start this. Twitter, get going.
Dude, I am. That's going in our hashtags.
That's going on a hashtag,
telling you. Well, Jason, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find you, where they can listen to you, and anything else you got going on, because, sir, you are well worth paying attention to.
Oh, thank you. No, I really appreciate that. UAP Studies is available pretty much everywhere. You can download a podcast, except Apple, because Apple makes it really difficult for me to post up there. I don't know if it's just my incompetence or they're just making things extra complicated, but promise I'm working on that as well.
It took us a while. Don't worry.
I don't know what the issue there is. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just got on Twitter, so I'm still new there. So it's a bit of a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Twitter thing, yeah.
It is, and we'll be tagging you there and Facebook and all of that stuff, so people will have access to those social media outlets and stuff like that, man. So,
appreciate it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Jason Guilmette, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we don't say this to everybody, but we would love to have you back again.
Anytime.
Down the road, man.
Anytime, man.
I really would love to dig deep into your 13-year-old story and get our hypnosis friend on you.
Why not? Did I get missing time? What happened?
He did one for me, and we're writing a book, and so we're kind of saving the full story for that book. But it blew my mind.
Right.
The memories that came back. It's crazy, man. But anyways, thank you so much, sir. And again, you're always welcome on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason Guilmette. Man, UAP Studies. UAP Studies, the podcast. It now has a "the" in there. Check that out. Literally, guys, his podcast is fantastic. What an amazing show, but what an amazing guest, Josh. We got to dig deeper into his story and his story of the UFO experience. Holy moly.
Right. I mean, he saw a cigar, a Tic Tac, whatever you want to call it, you know,
so
80,
very different
thing, 80 feet above his head. Well, what's really amazing is how a lot of that stuff is described. It makes it, you know, the Tic Tac makes it feel small, but a lot of those craft are described as being like football size, like football field size. So
Who knows? I don't know, man, but I'm just blown away. What a great conversation. And I bet you he's got more stories than just that one. You know, I'm like, time we have him on, we need to ask him about the one he saw with his wife. That's what I want to know.
Anything
how
his brother's seen.
Feel about it?
How does she feel about it? Right. Yeah.
Because I know both of our wives would be like, well, I mean, it was probably a drone.
Yeah. It was probably swamp gas.
We don't want to believe.
Yeah. In a balloon. Shaped like a drone.
Gas inside of a weather balloon.
Inside a balloon, weather balloon. Yep.
Oh my God. Carried by a drone. carried by a drone.
Yep.
And Kevin
That's how it got
Day.
There.
Yeah, and Kevin Day. He's riding on top of it.
like a bucking Bronco, just, you know.
Yeah, oh, man. But again, thank you guys so much for tuning in, as you usually do here on the UnX Network, the new mainstream, as well as the Fearscape Media Network. We want to remind people we do have a YouTube show as well called Astral Stew. I believe that as of this airing, we have dropped Astral Stew not just as a YouTube show, but as a podcast. So you'll be able to find those on all the streaming networks, unless we're having issues with Apple as well for that. But be on the lookout for Astral Stew as a podcast. It's just the shows in audio form. But yeah, check out that. We've got some other great things. Yep. Josh, we post a lot of our UAP sightings that we've caught on the psionics on the Fearscape Media page. So that's youtube.com/Fearscape Media. And they can get to that through the Fearscape Media page or the Convergence Network page as well, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all there. It's linked all over.
And don't forget, man, if you guys have a really cool sighting, if you got something going on, you can always submit a sighting to us or just email us at contact@theconvergenceenigma.com. Let us know what kind of sightings, or maybe you've got an encounter from the Fearscape. You've got a scary story you want to tell us that's happened to you or anything like that. You can send those things in. And of course, unxnetwork.com. You guys, so Whitley Strieber's got a show, dude. Billy Carson's got a show. This is an amazing thing. And yes, we are still in puppy dog love with them because they picked us up. Okay. Yes. But there's a reason, just like Jason's show. It's good content. It's good quality. It's great. It's phenomenal. And we are very blessed to be a part of that. Get ready for April, y'all. April is Alien Abduction Month. Yep. I figured it's time to tell you. It is Alien Abduction Month in April, where all four episodes are going to be about alien abductees and alien abductions. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys don't want to miss out on that. And we're even going to have Santosh coming back on the show. Santosh David, who's our co-host on Astral Stew.
That's right.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Convergence Enigma with Josh and Stefan. I have been Stefan, and I just want to remind everybody, keep your eyes to the skies.
And this has been Josh. The truth is now.
And remember, folks, don't stop searching. Don't stop questioning. Keep it going, y'all. Keep it going, y'all.